Good morning, Cornerstone Community Group. All three of you. We continue our study today in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want to warn you before I get started that this is going to be somewhat of an academic kind of sermon, because we're talking about one of the most controversial of all of the spiritual gifts. Very interesting. It may take me more than two sermons to fully explain this particular gift. So today we're once again reviewing the variety of spiritual gifts that Paul discusses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And these spiritual gifts, Paul the Apostle says, are administered to the church by the Holy Spirit, who distributes them to various believers as he wills. No one has all of the gifts. Some people only have one of the gifts, but the Holy Spirit is responsible for administering all of the spiritual gifts to the church. And he does so with the intent that each of us would use our spiritual gifts for ministry effectiveness toward all of our common good, whether word of wisdom or word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, or prophecy. Every spiritual gift is ordained and assigned to produce a positive and a growthful impact among believers. Some have more impact and some have less impact than others. Today we're focusing on the gift that Paul the Apostle says has possibly the least corporal impact of all of the spiritual gifts. That's what he says. We're talking about the gift of speaking in various languages, speaking in various dialects, or as it's interpreted in most Bible versions, speaking in tongues. You've probably heard of that. Paul seems to imply in chapter 14 and verse 12 of 1 Corinthians that this gift of speaking in tongues has less corporal effectiveness, because the one who speaks in a tongue, Paul says, does not speak to people, but to God. Every other one of the spiritual gifts that we've mentioned so far in chapter 12, every one of these gifts speaks to people, whether by words or by signs or by effectiveness. All of the other gifts seem to speak to the corporate body as a whole. But Paul says the one who speaks in tongues does not speak to people. She speaks to God. It's important to point out here that there appears to be a difference between Paul's description of speaking in tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the initial tongues that were spoken on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2. Turn there for a minute with me, Acts chapter 2, where the Bible says that the believers were all together in one place. And suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, distributing themselves, and the tongue rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with different tongues as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out. These tongues described in the book of Acts chapter 2, these tongues spoken on the day of Pentecost were accompanied by rushing winds. But Paul doesn't mention rushing winds in 1 Corinthians. The tongues on the day of Pentecost were accompanied by tongues that looked like fire. They could see them. But Paul doesn't mention that phenomenon occurring in the church at Corinth. And the writer of the book of Acts says that these tongues that appeared to be fire rested or lighted upon each person in the room, and it caused each of them to speak with different tongues. They all began to speak in various languages No one was excluded. They all spoke in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak out. They all spoke. That's what the writer of the book of Acts says. But these tongues and the spiritual gifts that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are not given to all believers. But as Paul says, to one is given the word of wisdom. To another is given the gift of the prophetic. To another is given the gift of healing, and so on and so on. Not everyone has all of the gifts. Not everyone speaks in tongues. In fact, Paul the apostle asked a rhetorical question in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30 and says, all do not speak with tongues, do they? And of course, in Paul's mind, in the experience of the Corinthian church, the answer would be a resounding no. All do not speak with tongues. Only some. But in the book of Acts, they all spoke with various languages that they had never spoken in before. A miracle. A sign from God. And so those are just a few of the differences, it seems, to be between the gift of speaking in tongues in the book of Acts and the kind of tongue that Paul is discussing within the Corinthian church. Rushing wind, no rushing wind. Tongues of fire, no tongues of fire. Gift lighted upon each one of them, gift lights upon some of them. These are the differences, and there are a few other distinctions between the tongues in Pentecost and the tongues in the Corinthian church. The writer of the book of Acts continues in chapter 2, verse 5, and says that there were Jews residing in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, this sound of all of these people speaking in tongues, the sound of this rushing mighty wind, the crowd came together and they were bewildered, because one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. All of these different people, these different people groups, have all gathered together for the day of Pentecost. And as the people are speaking in tongues, the different people groups can understand what's being spoken. They are speaking in human languages. Languages that were known to men. And they said, wow, I'm confused. They're speaking in my language. Huh. I understand what they're saying. They could decipher the words that were being spoken. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2 that the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God, for no one understands them. In the book of Acts, the people understood what they were saying. Paul says here, these tongues that are being spoken in the church cannot be understood by anyone. Different kinds, a variety of speaking in tongues. On the day of Pentecost, at least some people understood what was being spoken because it was spoken in their mother tongue. But the tongues being spoken by the Spirit in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, no one can understand them. And it's not like the province of Corinth is like a monolithic society, like they're separated from the rest of the culture. No, Corinth is a cosmopolitan city. It's a melting pot of all kinds of people. But Paul says that no one, no nation, no tribe, no kindred, no tongue, no one speaks the language that the Corinthian church is speaking when they speak in tongues. They could understand what they said in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, but they can't understand what the people are saying in the church at Corinth. And why is that? What is the reason for that? The apparent answer is because the languages being spoken at the church of Corinth is not a human language at all. Paul says that the person speaking in tongues is not speaking to men, but speaking to God, and no one understands them. But listen to this, he says, but in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. In his spirit, he speaks mysteries. In other words, the Holy Spirit is giving the person the ability to speak from his innermost being a language that is not intelligible to anyone around him. And often, as we'll see later, often it's not even intelligible to the person who is speaking it. anybody pause for a minute, especially you who've been in the church for a long time, because I know right now there's some imbalance. Like, what in the world are we saying right now? This sounds kind of mysterious, some language that nobody understands and people are speaking. It sounds very mysterious, I know. It even sounds suspicious. It even sounds unbelievable. And I can't make it sound any less improbable than it does. It just sounds improbable that people would be able to speak in a language that they've never spoken before, and it is not even a human language at all. This causes many in the church to recoil at this point and say, you know what, no, speaking in tongues is over. We don't do that anymore. That just sounds too strange. That's too much for me to handle. No, we don't do that anymore. But I want to give you three reasons today why I do not discount the possibility that the Holy Spirit can, and that the Holy Spirit does give believers the ability to speak in languages that are not currently known, languages that are not understood by man. I want to give you three reasons that I do not discount this possibility. And the first reason is this: because there are other languages superior to human language. There are other languages that are superior to human language. Let me ask you this question. What language does God speak? What language? Anybody can answer that question. It's such a simple question. What language does God speak? When he said, "Let there be light," and there was light, what language did he employ when he said that? You ever wonder about that? What was his language? Somebody got an answer for that? Human language hadn't been created, so God must have been speaking in some different language. He had to be. Then when the Bible says that God is out in the cool of the day and he calls for Adam, "Adam, Adam, where are you, Adam?" What vernacular could he have said that in? What language did Adam know? How could Adam have interpreted what God was saying? What was their language? How did they communicate to one another? How could Adam have understood God unless he was able to speak and to comprehend the language that God speaks? But Adam lost his ability to commune with God, as the story goes. And in losing his ability to commune with God, it also appears that Adam may have also lost his ability to speak and to understand God. That pre-human language that Adam and God apparently had together was lost. And Adam could no longer speak the language of God. And Adam could no longer hear the language of God. But they had a language before a language had even been developed. I would love to know what that language was. Another question, because you guys answered that one so well. Another question. Before the Tower of Babel, everyone spoke the same language. What language was that? Anybody got an answer for that? What language did everybody in the whole world speak that was exactly the same? What language was that? And does that language still exist today? Did God, when he confused the languages, did he allow some of them to maintain the original language? Or did he just do away with the entire old language altogether? I don't know. Maybe it was English. Maybe not. Could have been. We know that God confused the languages, but we don't know what the original language was. The language that God spoke when he said, "Let there be light," and the language God spoke with Adam in the Garden of Eden is a far superior language than any language we speak today. It is a far superior language than any language that has ever been known to mankind since the fall. It is a superior language. Human language is not the most superior language. That's the point. That's why I do not discount the possibility that the Holy Spirit allows some people to speak in a superior language, because why not? The Bible says it's the intention of the Lord Jesus Christ to restore all things to their original state before the fall. So it makes sense to me that Jesus Christ would also restore the language that was spoken in the beginning. Why not? The language of God, the language of all of heaven. Why not? But my cessationist friends have asked me this question many times. Maybe you're asking the same question of me today. But Calvin, why? Why would God have someone speaking in a language that nobody else can understand, that sounds like gibberish? Why? What would be the reason for that? It makes no sense. It's true. But I can only answer that question with a litany of other questions of my own, the answers to which make even less sense to me from my human perspective. Questions like this: why did God allow Paul to be taken into the third heaven and show him things that he was forbidden to even talk about? Why? What was the reason for that? You take me into the third heaven, you show me all these wonderful things, then tell me, but don't ever tell anybody what I showed you. What was the reason? I have a question about that. Why? Why did God do that? You have questions. I have questions. The question, like, why did God send down a blanket before Peter to tell him that the Gentiles could be saved? Why didn't he just say, Peter, the Gentiles can be saved, go and evangelize? Why did God go through all of the drama of it all? Why? Why did God speak to the prophet Balaam through a donkey of all things? Why? Couldn't he have just spoken through a man? Why through a donkey? In the world, why not? Why did God take Elijah up in a chariot of fire when he could have just as easily lifted him off the ground and caused him to us? Why? Why all of the drama? I have some questions of my own. You're not the only one with questions. We all have questions. But I accept every one of these improbable events at face value simply because I believe the Word of God. I accept that the Holy Spirit gives individuals the ability to speak in various languages that are currently unknown to mankind, because the Apostle Paul said so. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I believe the Word of God. That's all. I can't explain it. No, but neither can you explain most of what you believe in the Word of God. I can't explain how a man was dead for 3 days and raised physically and bodily from the dead, but I believe. So the logic of it all makes no difference to me. I believe it because the Word of God says that it's so. Because Paul the Apostle said that there were people who spoke in tongues and spoke to God and not to man, and no human being could understand them. That's what the Bible says. That's what I believe and accept. Some would say that makes me crazy, but I don't mind. I've been called worse things than that. Another reason I accept the truth that God gives individual believers the ability to speak in various tongues is because of the severe limitations of human language to adequately describe or communicate the glory of God. Because man's language is embryonic when it comes to talking about God. Because man's human language is inferior when it comes to describing the glory of God. And that brings up the question of language. And this is the question I spent a lot of time focusing on for this sermon. I'm going to spend a lot of time on in the future. The question of language. And the question I started out asking, I'm sure you all understand all these things already. The question I started off asking is, what is language? How are languages formed? How are languages even created? What is language? Language is more than just words. Language is more than just pronunciation. Language is more than just tone. Language is more than just dialect. All of these are parts of language, but language is shaped and created by cultures. Stay with me for this. Languages are shaped and created by cultures. And every culture is influenced by shared experiences, shared environment, and shared history. Cultures create language according to their own needs. And human language, no matter what the language is, human language continues to evolve as we learn more, as we experience more, as we come to understand the world in which we live better. Language continues to evolve. This means that language is as fluid as culture. Language is constantly shifting to reflect the changing landscape of the world. It means that language is diluted, language is weakened, or language is strengthened, language is enriched in response to this ever-changing world that we live in. Language is not static. Language is our human response as a collective group to our shared experience. Let me give you an example and a side note of this. As I was studying about languages, I wanted to better understand how cultures create new words to describe the changing landscape. So I began to research the new words that came about in 1967. That was the year I was born. And so I wanted to know what new words came about in 1967, my year. I'm sure it's going to be something like excellent or extravagant or some big words because it's my birth year. You know what new words were made in 1967? Fanny pack was made in 1967. And vibe, I like that one, the vibe, was made in 19. We make words every year. Webster every year tells us what the word of the year is. And this year we have COVID-19 and isolation, all these. We make up words as we experience things. That means that our language then, all human language, is imperfect. Always inferior and never complete. We have to keep adding words because of the inferiority of our experiences. That's human language. I found that very interesting. Every culture continues to create new words in order to describe and to identify new phenomena, new ideas, new values of that society. Why? Because our language is incomplete. Every human language is inadequate. Every human language is insufficient to fully encompass all that it means to be a human, all that it means to be alive. You've heard the old saying, words cannot express how I feel for you. Words cannot express. That is so true when it comes to talking about God. Words cannot, human words, cannot fully encompass all that God is. We can only speak words about God according to the experiences that we have had up to this point. So our words about God are always insufficient to truly give him the glory that he deserves. Human language created and developed by a world that does not even know God cannot adequately describe him, cannot put into words all that God is, cannot put into words all that God has done. Because language is created by a fallen culture that does not even know God. Interesting. And through speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives the ability to some believers, not to all, but to some believers, to speak in a language that is not governed by the limitations of an unbelieving culture. and to speak from the culture of heaven. Or as Paul says it, to speak in and from his spirit the mysteries of God. Because the spirit man of a believer is born anew into the kingdom of God. It is born anew into a culture that does not change. A culture that is completely perfect and whole right now. He's allowed to speak with a language that is not under construction, but a full and complete language in every way. No new words are coming into the kingdom of God. The kingdom doesn't make new words every year. The word of God is only yes and amen. It is finished. It is over. There is no new lexicon in heaven. They've had the same dictionary since the dateless days of eternity. No words will ever change. It is the perfect language. It is the perfect culture. Because God is perfect. God perfectly knows and understands all things as they truly are. And therefore, the language of God is perfect. And only with the language of God can you give him all of the glory that is absolutely due to his name. I said before that language expresses and language reinforces the culture. But now I'll add this, language influences personal identity. Language influences personal identity. Language tells you who you are because your culture tells you who you are. Language gives you definition because your culture gives you definition. Language influences personal identity. But when a person is born again, a person is born as a new creation. And our identity is no longer to be found in any culture that bred us. And our language has the ability to break beyond the boundaries that are established by any culture. A new people deserve, a new people need a new language. Every culture has its own language. The people of God, this new creation, has our own language. And it is superior to the culture that bred us, no matter what that culture was. And so now, because we're born again, we live through the Spirit, we live by the Spirit, and we speak to God from our own spirit, from our new identity. Since we've been born again, we've been adopted into a new family. And the new man that is within each one of us has inherited a common experience, a common background, and a common history that aligns itself with the angels in heaven, that aligns itself with God himself. A new culture. A new culture that deserves to have new words. You know, linguists have discovered that language affects the way we see the world. And therefore, language affects how we choose to interact with the world, and language affects how we choose to interact with one another. Language defines for us what is possible and what is not possible. Language, because our culture defines for us what is possible and what is not possible. Language can describe how far a person can go. Language can describe how far a person can go. Language can place limitations on an entire people group. Language is powerful. That's the point. Language is powerful. And it is by language that cultures control the masses. Language. That's why I think so many people fear speaking in tongues. Because if a person is speaking in a tongue you can't understand, you can't really control him, you can't really manage him, you can't really manipulate him. What are you talking about? You have to speak the language of the culture that we created together as a collective. And God says, no, I'm giving him permission for the moment to speak in a different language, one that's uninhibited and unbound by your culture. To step outside of culture, it's really a liberating thing, actually. Very interesting as I consider it more and more. It becomes more and more desirable. Language is powerful. And all of us to some degree is held hostage to the values, to the taboos, and to the beliefs of the culture that bred us. But the Holy Spirit, by this gift, gives relief to some believers by allowing us to temporarily evade the grip of our culture and to express ourselves as we truly are, without the ornaments, without the trappings of this world, without the cultural clothing that conceals our truest selves, by lumping us into a group, by tying us to a people group. The Holy Spirit, by the spiritual gifts, gives liberation to some believers. And for those moments of liberty, that believer stands in an undefined and an unknown state by the world, just like Jesus was. For those brief moments of spiritual gifting with the ability to speak in languages that are currently unknown to mankind, we experience a freedom that this rigid world refuses to acknowledge. A world in which we can cast off stereotypes, a world in which we can cast off worldly expectations that tell us who or what we can or cannot be or become. For that brief moment of gifting, we step outside of the confines of culture, and we stand in the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Sounds wonderful. Sounds interesting. Sounds desirable. It sounds like this gift of speaking in tongues is designed to be somewhat therapeutic in nature. In fact, Paul says it outright in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 4. He says that the one who speaks in tongues edifies himself. It's therapeutic. He builds himself up by speaking in tongues. She strengthens herself through speaking in tongues. He encourages himself through the gift of speaking in tongues. It sounds good on the one hand, but this is why Paul considers the gift of speaking in various languages to be less useful to the body than any other gift. Because for the most part, the gift of speaking in tongues is an affirmation from within the one who is speaking, that he is a child of God. But it does very little to secure the faith of others within the body unless there's an interpreter. Otherwise, this gift of speaking in tongues does not serve the common good. And that's why Paul says it is one of the most inferior of the spiritual gifts. Because it may be good for the person, but it doesn't necessarily serve the entire body. Now, time doesn't permit me today to continue to talk about this or to continue to talk about the gift of interpretation of tongues, so I'm going to have to go another Sunday after next to kind of wrap this up. We still have to do more work to flesh out the particulars of what this gift of speaking in various languages consists of. But today I wanted to lay a groundwork for us to help us to move outside of the mindset that God cannot do this or God does not do that or God will not do that, because actually it kind of makes sense to me that God would permit some to walk in the culture of his kingdom. After all, why not? And if we can get past that hurdle, then we can better understand how this spiritual gift actually works in our lives, how it can work in a believer's life. And I think this is very important. And you all know this, you've been in church for a while. There are churches that have split up over this issue right here. People who've broken apart because of this one issue for one of the least relevant of all the spiritual gifts, churches have been destroyed. because of our rigidness, because of our commitment to human logic, our inability to accept the idea that God does the miraculous, the mysterious all the time. I said to one of my friends one day, he was talking about speaking in tongues, and I'm the person who just says, you know what? If a person speaks in tongues and talks to God, and they say they're talking to God, who am I? Who is below me to bother with that? As long as he's not bothering me, as long as he's loving his neighbor, why should I bother to care about that? Is this a matter of control or a matter of being true to the word of God? Which is it? Because Paul clearly says that this is possible. And we're going back and forth and back and forth, and we're talking about it. And I said to him, can you prophesy? He said, no. And I said, do you believe that people can? Yes. Can you heal the sick? No. Do you believe that people can? Yes. If you can't do any of these things and you've never seen these things done, but you can still believe, what is the problem with this speaking in tongues that gets you so excited? You can't do any of the gifts, but you believe them. Why is this such a big deal? I really believe it's a big deal because culture's control. Language controls. And when people walk outside of that, they're no longer under your control. You have to agree with the collective group. If you just make your own language up, then what if each one of us in this room just made up our own language? That would cause mass confusion and chaos. So, what are you saying? What are you saying? And that's what Paul is going to get at later is, if everybody just starts speaking in tongues and there is no interpreter, it's just going to be mass confusion. So this gift can cause some problems if it's not managed well. But when managed well, Paul says it can work just fine. I am of the opinion, I'll give you this one in advance, I am of the opinion that speaking in tongues is best reserved for a private time with God. If you speak in tongues, that's fine. Maybe in your private time would be the best place. Paul says, don't even speak in tongues if there's no interpreter. And I don't know any interpreter, so maybe it's better just to keep that in your private place. You know, I really believe that's the case. Later on, we're going to see Paul the Apostle say that. In fact, we're going to hear Paul the Apostle say, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He says it outright, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So to every cessationist, I say, you always talk about Paul and how much you desire Paul. Paul said he spoke in tongues. What do you say with that? What do you say to Paul? Do you say he lied? Or is it that you just can't seem to grasp this particular mystery and so you just reject it outright? You have no right to do that. You have no right to put boundaries and limitations on the word of God. That is not your role. But to believe what the word of God says, even if you can't understand it, and to respect others who say they operate in that gift. If you tell me you operate in that gift, I have no reason to challenge you. I have no reason. If you're loving your neighbor, if you're living a godly life, I have no reason to challenge your personal practices. Could be. That's always been my position. Because I see no need for the church to control things like that. I see no need to argue about things like that. It doesn't affect me and it doesn't affect the church. Why am I bothered by it? It makes no sense. Well, prophesying makes no sense to some people. Going and praying that God would raise the sick doesn't make sense to some people. Nevertheless, it is possible and it happens all the time. I see no reason why this gift can't be the same way. Let's recap for today and we'll continue in 2 weeks to kind of finish, hopefully to finish this up. Number one, I said that some spiritual gifts have lesser impact on the body than others. Number two, the gift of speaking in various languages is one of the least impactful of all of the spiritual gifts to the body. Number three, the person who speaks in various languages by the Holy Spirit speaks to God and not to men. Number four, there appears to be a difference between the tongues that were spoken in the book of Acts as compared to Paul's description in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Number five, as we all know, not every believer has the gift of speaking in various languages. Number six, the language of God and the language of heaven is superior to the languages of mankind. Number seven, human language is created, developed, and maintained by a fallen humanity, and therefore it is inherently flawed. Number eight, every culture has its own language, and the culture of Christ's new creation has a language all its own. And number nine, the ability to speak in a language that is not governed by society is a refreshing sign of freedom to the person who has that ability. And it may be a manner by which the Holy Spirit testifies to some believers that they are the children of God. We'll leave it right there for today. We'll pick up on this in 2 weeks to get a better understanding of what this gift is all about, the particulars of it. And let me just say this also. I am not one to encourage anyone to seek the gift of speaking in tongues. I don't think that's necessary. Either you have it or you don't. Paul the Apostle says, if you're going to start seeking gifts, it's better to seek the gift of prophecy than the gift of speaking in tongues, because by the gift of prophecy, you can edify the entire body. And it's always better to edify the entire body rather than just yourself. So if you're going to seek the spiritual gifts, seek the spiritual gifts of blessing the whole body of Christ. Otherwise, if you have the gift of speaking in tongues, there's nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to be afraid of, even though we make it sound really scary. There's nothing to be afraid of, but just practice that spiritual gift in your private time. And let God enrich you, nourish you, and refresh you in that way. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, what an interesting topic. And what exciting capabilities you've given to the body of Christ. We thank you for every one of the spiritual gifts that you have given, even the ones that we can't fully comprehend. Even the ones that seem to defy our own human logic. We've already confessed that our human logic, even our human culture and language, is all insufficient, inferior, and inherently flawed. And so we know that we don't fully understand all things. Thank you for the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. Thank you for the spiritual gift that brings refreshing, that brings encouragement, that brings affirmation into the heart of those upon whom you have blessed with this gift. We pray, Father God, that you would allow that gift also to bless this body by also giving to us an interpreter, someone who can interpret the words that are being spoken for your glory. We know that you have not wasted any of these gifts on your body. We know that you are a God who is very efficient in everything you do, and that this spiritual gift serves a purpose for the body of Jesus Christ. Help us to better understand what that purpose is and how we can cooperate with your Holy Spirit in all things to release within your church all of the power, all of the energy, and all of the abilities that you have given to us in order to be a blessing to one another, to bring glory to your name, and to save the world. In Jesus' name, amen.